Well, let's turn to Romans 12, 9. Talked about forgiveness this week. I want to talk about forgiveness some more, or just some different aspects along the same lines. Romans 12, we're going to start with the same verse of Scripture we started with last time. Romans 12, 9. You know, the devil, he has been around for a long time. He's not stupid. He's stupid in some ways, but he knows how men work, and he's been around, and he would like to trip each one of us up any way he can. And he's got an arsenal, you know, right against us that he tries all these different ways to try to trip us up. Any way he can, he'll try to do it. And one of the ways that he does it is through getting us offended with people and getting us focused on something somebody else is doing or something outside, you know, of our relationship with God to trip us up in our relationship with God and to trip us up in God's plan for us. He does that. He tries to get you to look at somebody else or look at somebody else's, what their actions are towards you, to get you derailed in what you are supposed to be doing for God. And it's a tactic. And if we're aware of the tactics and we're aware of the counter, the defense, then we'll get to... We won't be tripped up. We won't be derailed, and we'll be able to walk. Like we said last week, we'll just be able to walk. It's just like armor. You know, if you know the counterattack to an attack, then you can sustain. If you know the defense, you know, if you know the enemy is going to do certain things, and you know what they look like. You know, if you're playing sports and you knew a certain play was coming, and you knew how to shut it down. Then when you see the play developing, then you know what to do. Now, you still have to do it. You can't just say, well, I see that play is developing and stand there. Guess what? People are going to run right by you and score or do whatever. They're going to dismantle you. But if you know what's coming and you do the proper defense against it, you can shut it down. And that's what God's given us, is directions, so that when we see these certain signs developing, when we see certain reactions in ourselves, then we can identify and say, this is an attack. I recognize this. This is an attack. This is the enemy. There's nothing more than that. Yes, there may be somebody has offended me. Yes, there's something going on. Maybe somebody doesn't like me. Maybe somebody's actually plotting against me. But I have the King of the universe on my side. He's already given me the playbook. He's already told me what to do in this situation. So what I have to do is follow it at this point, and it will go well with me. And if we'll do that, then it will go well with us. Now but what happens is our flesh gets in the way, and it's so tempting to rise up and try to react out of what we want to do internally instead of what God's word says and what his spirit's directing us to do. So in Romans 12, verse 9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So we read these verses last week, and we're just going to touch on a few of the points before we go on. You know, but these instructions are not just... I mean, of course, the whole word is like this. But they're not just words that we say, oh, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll think about that. These are instructions from Almighty God that when certain things happen here, if we'll react the way it says, it's not really optional. It is optional in the sense that it's also optional for me to go and run out in the middle of, Interstate 93 with oncoming traffic. I can do that. Now, I may suffer some consequences because of that. It's not wise for me to do that, but I can do it. I have a free will. I can go do it. Just the same way, we can choose to disregard these things. When he says in verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, we can choose to curse the people. When stuff's going and it's hard and people are throwing junk at us or, bringing stuff against us, we can choose to curse them. We can choose to get irritated and get angry, and I don't care what the word says because this is tempting for all of us. Right now, I don't feel like it. What did this person did to me? And I'm just going to, we don't say it like this, but we just choose, essentially, to react out of our flesh instead of out of God's word. Now, if we don't say it like I just said it, we don't say, you know what? I know this is going to hurt me. I know this is against the word, but I'm going to do it anyway. Mostly it's like that person hurt me, and it's just like blinded to what the word says. I feel something, so I'm going to react, and we don't think, we just do. But if we let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us, and we'll just let the word dominate us, even when we don't feel like it, and when somebody is persecuting us, we bless them. Instead of cursing him, we say, God, I recognize this. We'll stop and say, I recognize what's going on here. Somebody's persecuting me. I recognize what's going on here. Now, what does the word say to do about it? It says to bless them. I'm going to purposefully choose to do what you said to do because I know your plays work. What your commands will work. If I choose to curse, I'm essentially saying, Lord, I know what your word says, but you don't know what you're talking about, so I'm going to go anyway. And do this. We wouldn't say it that way, but that's what we're doing. And if we'll just humble ourselves and let God be God and let His ways work, then it will work for us. And so in verse 14, he said, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. I know we went over some of these things, but I'm just going to go over some of these things quick before we go on. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. That's tempting. Somebody did something to you, it's tempting to say, I'm going to get them back. I'm going to get them. Why not? And you know what? You can rationalize it. And most people would agree with you. If you were to tell a lot of people, they did this to me, well, I wouldn't put up with that. I'd do X, Y, and Z, Most people would agree with you. But the Bible says, repay no one evil for evil. Don't do it. Don't do it. It says, God gives us specific instructions. Verse 18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, a lot of the times, again, we'll rationalize that it's not possible for me to live peaceably with somebody. And if you talk to a lot of people, they would say, there's no way. There's no way. Get out of that. Go give them a piece of your mind. Don't stay there. Don't stay in that situation. Get out of that situation. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time to get out of the situation, but the Bible says as much as it is up to you, live peaceably with all men. So we have to look at ourselves and go, God, you know my situation. You know where I am. Okay, if I need to remove myself from this situation or get out, fine. But is that just me reacting, or is that really what you want me to do? And sometimes you just have to take a while to settle that, because when a situation's emotionally charged, you want to react out of emotion. We need to get our emotion out of the picture, and so that we can react according to what the Spirit's telling us and according to what the Word's telling us. And if we need to take time, we need to take time. But we just need to know that the Word says to live peaceably with all men as much as it depends on you. So in a situation, it's not, I really want to get this person back. I want to give this person a piece of my mind. Those are all reactions that our flesh wants to do, but we have to say, God, what do you want? And if we'll just react, then, okay, you know what? I could do this. I could choose to give them a piece of my mind, but I'm choosing to live peaceably. We're on God's side. And God is faithful. He will always take care of us if we'll do that. And he said, and then verse 9, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Now, he gives more instructions. These are counter to what most people would do. Your enemy. This is real. This isn't just spiritual, you know, theorizing or, you know, and this is where we live. When stuff is going on, when our enemy, somebody that we don't like, somebody that maybe has ill will against us, he said if he's hungry, this is the best way. This is the counterattack. Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So let's turn to Ephesians 4:31. We're going to read a scripture we read last week. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So he makes this list. First in the list is let all bitterness. And we're going to talk more about that today. Bitterness. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Don't do it. Don't do it. With all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And that, you know, that's what we talked about last week and gave some illustrations, how it comes down to the way God has treated us. That, like we said just at the beginning in our prayer, that we don't deserve the riches of the grace that God has poured out on each of us. We don't deserve it. We're made holy because of what Jesus has done and because of his sacrifice. But I think sometimes that we can get to where we've heard that so many times we almost think we deserve it. And that we have the right then, you know, people that aren't Christians or somebody else, you know, by golly, you're not treating me right. Let me tell you something. We don't, man, if we were to stand before Almighty God and him to say, okay, give me your credentials, they're so far away from God's standard. And God Almighty was merciful to us. He's the King. There's such a gap between our holiness in ourselves. Now, we're holy because of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. But it is so easy to get that attitude that somehow we deserve it. Now we're the Christians. Let me give you a piece of my mind. You know, you unholy thing, and you know, you're rejecting God, so that gives me the right to be mean to you. That's the devil trying to get in and mess us up. That's what he's trying to do, is to derail us. It's pride. It's getting, you know, that's, you've seen people, not saying all this is wrong. Man, I've seen people get street preaching in certain places where they were just laying in to the people on the street. I mean, nobody in their right mind would listen to anything the people are saying because they're berating, cursing even. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. These people are so full of themselves that they're going and cursing at the people, berating them, saying they got to turn to God. And it's not of God. That's not God's attitude towards them. But they are so full of pride, thinking they have this answer. I mean, they have the gospel, but the devil's twisted it to make them completely of no avail. People walking down the street going, who is this guy? Man, get him off. Because they're making a fool of themselves, yet they think they're speaking for God. So let us not get to the point where we think because we're Christians and whatever that somehow we have a right to act against what the word says, which we wouldn't put it like that. But, you know, Jesus acted in a certain way, and the King of the universe let himself be spit on, let himself be mocked. And we are his children. The only reason we can stand before God is because of his sacrifice, not because we're any holier than this person that might be treating us bad, even if they're not a Christian. And see, the devil, I mean, especially if somebody's not a Christian, they're not under the control of God. They listen to the enemy. And the enemy will use somebody that is not a Christian to come in to offend you as bait, because they don't even realize why they're lashing out at you. It's because they're listening to their father, who's the devil at that point. They're fool. They're not listening to God. They're not on God's side. He can probe them to say something to you, to get you to do something, to provoke you, so that you, if you don't go by the playbook, all of a sudden you look like a fool. You look like the one that's the mean one. You look like the one that's in, you know, that's not acting like a Christian, like you're acting in hate. And it's all a setup. But I tell you what, if we do what God's word says, no, nothing can touch us. People do stuff and you just choose to be on God's side and say, no, I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to get angry at you. You don't know what you're doing. I serve Almighty God. I am washed in His blood and I'm righteous because of that. And I'm staying on His side. I'm not taking that bait. I'm not going over there. I tell you what, that's a lot easier said than done, but that's what we need to do. It says, because be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you, all of us. Now let's turn over to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 14. And actually, this first verse says a lot of the same things we just read. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Now there's different, he's talking about different things here, but in the verse before, he is talking about pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And then he goes on, lest there be any fornicator, profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. But he's talking about being in peace with all people. And he said to be careful, lest any root of bitterness spring up. And bitterness, I looked that word up, and somebody said this, that when you don't forgive people, when you get bitter towards other people, it's like you drinking poison and waiting for the other person to fall over dead. Well, you know what? You look that word up, and it literally means this. Acridity, literally, especially poison, literally or figuratively. An acrid means sharp or harsh or unpleasantly pungent in taste or odor. So it literally means poison. Literally or figuratively, poison. When you get bitter, it is literally, that's not just a nice saying. When you get bitter towards somebody, it's like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It is literally poison. Bitterness, when you get bitter, and this is the thing that I wanted to focus on, is that it is so, when we talk about doing these things, it's a constant thing that we have to keep ourselves clean. Keep ourselves out of bitterness with people. Keep ourselves, that's why, he said an attitude of forgiveness. Keep it before you, because what happens over time, and I'm sure we've all experienced this, that something happens with somebody. You don't take care of it over time, your mind, you can repeat it. And maybe you say something to somebody else, your spouse, or you say something to a friend, and you repeat the matter. Have you noticed that when you repeat it, it gets worse? And even if it wasn't that big a deal, it becomes bigger in your mind. And if you let it go over and over your head, it gets bigger. And what they did to you gets bigger. And if you repeat it, especially out loud, I've noticed, it seems to expand. And if you're not careful, what you do is you start demonizing the person. You start getting, making everything about what they did to you. And you become, if you're not careful, you can become bitter about it. And when you become bitter, it starts to affect the way you act. You're just, when you think about the person or think about the situation, you're just unsettled. It's a bad feeling. It's not, you're not at peace. It's a sure sign when if you're not living at peace and you think about something, you can't think about it because it just, maybe you get tight. Maybe you get tense. Maybe you get, nervous about it. Maybe you just. It's making you worked up. That's a sure sign that somehow we've let something get in there and start to try to take root in ourselves. And, there's nothing, the thing to do then is to get it out, go forward, and clean it up and forgive the person right there. And, there's a lot been said about forgiveness and, when have you forgiven, when have you not, all that. Well, basically, it just boils down to just looking to God, looking to His wisdom in the situation, and letting the person off the hook. Not to say that there's not times we need to confront a situation, not to say that there's times we don't need to get out of a situation, but regardless of what we do need to do in those types of things, we should be at peace. That's the bottom line. Is that if I'm confronting you about a situation, that I can do it peacefully, and I can say, look, here's the situation. Here's how I view it, and I can do it calmly. I can do it objectively. I'm not ranting and raving at you. I'm not getting your face ready to wring your neck saying, you know, do you know what you did to me? See, if we're in peace, then we know we have taken care of it before God. We're okay, and now I'm going to deal with what needs to be dealt with. And there are times we just have to, it's not to say that we just let ourselves be run over. We don't ever say anything because that's the Christian way to do. That's, Jesus dealt with stuff. And he did some things very sternly, but he still did it in love. He did it sternly because it had to be done sternly. And if we have to do something sternly and somebody is treating us a certain way, then we have to do that. If we're led by God, but we just need to know that we're in peace, that we're operating in love, and that we're not operating out of the flesh and we're not just vindictive. Because it's also tempting to say, well, I need to deal with the situation. This person needs to be dealt with. And we go in there and we can think that if we're not careful, we can use it as an excuse that, boy, this is just intolerable. This is not what's supposed to be going on. And this is, you know, it's my righteous indignation that I just need to take care of this situation, so I'm going to do it. Yet we use it as really a tool to be vindictive. You know, we get in there and it's easy to you know, tear that person down or say things that don't need to be said. But the bottom line is if we see ourselves becoming just out of peace, unsettled towards somebody, it's a sure sign. Like we talked about earlier, if we see the play developing, if we see something happening, one of the sure signs that the devil is trying to make a run on us is that we're out of peace. We're out of peace towards somebody. We have ill will towards somebody. Again, it doesn't mean that that person has not done something that is wrong. It means our perspective on the situation is wrong, because we should be able to look at them and say, yeah, you are doing what's wrong. That is incorrect. I'm not going to tolerate it, you know, as far as if I need to do something about it. At the same time, I am free in Jesus. Jesus has forgiven me so much. He loves me. He's got a good plan for me. And what you're doing is not going to derail me. Now I need to deal with this situation. On the other hand, I'm peaceful, and I'm going to go on. And that's when we know we're dealing with the situation correctly. Thank God. Let's read a couple Proverbs. Proverbs 17:9. I tell you what, the devil wants to steal our strength. He wants to sap our joy. He wants us to be distracted when we're with our families, that we're off thinking about some other situation, whether it be at work or whether it be, you know, some other relationship or whatever. He wants to distract us. He wants us to make us, you know, however it is. He'll just use tactic after tactic. He doesn't got just one attack. He'll use one tactic and then he'll use another, whether it's, you know, maybe it's stress on the job, but this is just one of the many. His bottom line is to get you so that you're not at peak capacity. And so just these are things that keep us going above the storm. I mean, we're just going and stuff's going on, but we're still able to concentrate and be peaceful and go on with God because we're not getting sidelined with these things. His tactic is to sap our strength, not because you're the, you know, number one person on the earth. It's because he's doing that to everybody. He just wants to derail the kingdom of God. Proverbs 17:9. It says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. The same thing we said. If you cover something, one sure way just to get let it drop, again, if stuff needs to be dealt with, we're not saying just let everything go and that's the Christian way and, you know, just never deal with situations. You know, that's almost another subject. We're not dealing with that. We're saying if, in general, you know, somebody says something, doesn't need to be dealt with, it's just that they're having a bad day. The Bible says, he who covers a transgression. If you cover a transgression, you seek love. But if you repeat a matter, it can separate even the closest of friends. And that's what when you don't let it drop and you go and repeat it to yourself or you repeat it to somebody else, and especially if you repeat it to that person, it just has a dividing effect, causes things to be unsettled. But if we'll just learn that, look, the Bible tells us that if we cover a transgression, we're seeking love. It's the bigger person that can cover and say, you know what, they probably didn't mean that. I'm not going to go. I'm just going to let it go. Go on. You're actually defending yourself. You're actually keeping yourself on track with God. A couple verses down, verse 14. It says, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Have you ever watched? I mean, you know this personally. But you can see it, you know, if you have kids. If you see them, you know, fighting at something, you just see one's nipping at the other one. Then pretty soon the other one's nipping, and then back and forth they're going. It's the same thing with us. It's just easier if you just shut it down at the beginning. If you know your start, if you know your spouse or somebody else, if you know there's something that you could react to it, and you know what's going to happen if you do react to it. If you've been down that path where you know if I say this, it's on. Stuff's going to happen. You know that, especially if you're with your spouse or whatever. But it takes, sometimes it just takes discipline to say, you know what, I'm not going to say anything here. I know what I could say. I know what the response would be. I'm going to shut up. You got to bite your tongue or whatever. Sometimes we don't bite our tongue, and then we pay the consequences, you know, like running out into the middle of I-93. But if we're smart, we'll just say, you know, the Bible is full of wisdom. It tells us the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Somebody makes a sharp, maybe it was just a sharp jab. Somebody, you know, maybe your spouse said something that just wasn't the nicest, had a little bit of a tone to it. Two choices. Let it go, believe the best, or call them on it. The Bible tells us very clearly, we don't have to stop and say, you know, well, what should I say? We know what we should say. We just don't want to do it half the time. But we know what we should do at that point. Again, if there's a situation we need to deal with, then we need to deal with it. But probably, that's probably not the best time to deal with the if there is a real situation. You know you're not going to get any kind of real work done at that point. You're just going to go around in circles for an hour or two fighting and not really get any real work done. And then when it's all over, then you go, okay. Now, what was the real situation? I knew that wasn't, you know, I knew you were a little upset about something. What were you really upset about now that we've wasted a couple hours of our lives arguing or whatever? Let's turn to 1 Peter 3:8. 1 Peter 3:8. God is a good God. He gives us everything we need to live a successful life in every area. It's just a matter of doing it sometimes, but you know what? He helps us with the doing too. Thank God, he is very faithful. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. It's like the third time we've read something like that. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So again, he gives us instruction here. He tells us not to return evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. And then in verse 10, he says, he who would love life and see good days. So he's telling us, if you want to live, you know, have good life, if you love life and to see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Watch your mouth. In the situation, the context we're talking about, just, you know, I've never seen it do any good to go over a situation that if you already know what the person's done to you or you know what it is, it only clouds your judgment and brings emotions involved to repeat it or to speak it out and to get irritated about it. It doesn't do any good. I've never seen that do any good but to just cause harm. He says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. From speaking deceit, you know, it's deceit when you let yourself, even if you know better and you know what we're talking about, we all do, in a situation, even though you know what you should do, by voicing the opposite, you're speaking deceit. You're giving the devil an inroad to get you to go down that pathway. So don't even play with it. If we know that we know what to do, but it's like, you know, sometimes we want to just play with it. We want to just voice it anyway, even though we think, well, I'm going to go the right way. But I just want to get this anyway. I just want to speak this out because I feel like it. If we do that, we're giving the devil an inroad to get us, even though we had every intention of, yeah, I'm going to do the right thing, but I just want to say this, to push us this way further and to knock us where we didn't want to go. But when we open our mouth and complain or start feeling sorry for ourselves or why is this happening, we're speaking deceit. We're opening ourselves up for him to knock us around. And if we'll just, from the beginning, stop our mouths and say, no, I'm going to do what this says. I'm not going to speak that. I'm going to speak good things, and I'm just going to do the right thing from the start. You know what? Lord, you said to bless the person that's doing things bad to me. So right from the beginning, that person probably didn't. I found this really works. You know, the word of God works, but you just start speaking good about that person. When you feel like speaking evil, start speaking good. Start praying for them. If they're off, if you feel like they're just, you know, having a rough time, just start just praying for them. Lord, you know, I don't know why they're doing this, but they're probably upset about something. I don't know what their family life is like. I don't know what's going on. I don't know, you know, I just, Lord, just help them in their situation. Pray in tongues for them. Pray for wisdom for them. God bless them in their job. Help them to, you know, do well in their marriage and with their children. Help them, you know, financially. You just start blessing them. Pretty soon you're on their side because you're praying for them, and what they did starts looking small. That is a tactic that will bring you over. It will put you on the right side. You're on God's side because, you know, God loves that person just as much as he loves you, and Jesus died for that person just as much as he died for you. And if we just get on Jesus' side, man, God is working with us and for us in that situation. He said, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Thank the Lord. All right, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 7:21. I think we'll close here. 1 Corinthians 7:21. This is one of the most fun topics, but this will save our lives in a lot of ways, you know. Save us time, save us hassle, save us heartache. 1 Corinthians 7:21. It says, were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. He says, brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. But he says, now he's talking about, you know, talking about people that were literally slaves and free, and he's just addressing those things and saying, look, don't be so concerned with it. Wherever you were called, stay in that way. But he makes some comments along the way. In verse 22, he said, he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. In other words, you know, if a guy is a slave physically, he's still free in God. On the other hand, somebody who is called while free is Christ's slave. Even, and that's the category we're all in. We're free, but we're still slaves of God in the sense that we're bondservants, like we said last week, of God, because Jesus paid a price for us. He said in verse 23, you were bought at a price, do not become slaves of men. You were bought with a price, do not become slaves of men. And don't become slaves of anything else other than God. Don't become slaves because you want so bad to get back at somebody. Don't become slaves of that. See, that puts you under the bondage of something else instead of just under the bondage of Christ. God bought us through Jesus Christ, and so if we'll just say, I am Jesus. I'm God's servant. I am God's slave. And in this situation, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to go on with what Jesus said to do because he loved me so much, he laid down his life, and we just go on. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And if we'll act like it and be on his side, none of these things that we've talked about today, you know, there won't be any harm that can get into our life. We won't be derailed. We won't be set at, we won't be bitter. We won't have all the things, the physical attributes that could go with that, sickness or disease or anything, because we are holding on to something when really we could just let it go if we'll just look to God. If we'll just go by his playbook and just remind ourselves, you know, in any situation, whether it's, you know, forgiving somebody or any situation, if we'll remind ourselves, that we are God's bondservant. We are bondservants of God Almighty because of what Jesus did. And we'll just act in accordance with that and do what we're called to do in any situation. Bless, do not curse. Bless them that persecute us. Forgive as God in Christ forgave us. And it'll go well with us. It will be this set of armor, like we mentioned last week, that it cannot be penetrated. There'll be cracks that the devil tries to aim for, but we'll close everything up if we'll just follow these instructions, what God said, and just stay on his side. Amen.